Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Usually I don't give titles to sermons because I'm not that clever, but this time I came up with a really good title. It's hard to keep the faith when your feet are on fire. Now, for those of you who know about John Huss, he was burned at the stake. It's hard to keep the faith when your feet are on fire. It's easy to have faith when things are going well. It's easy to have faith when we see a baby born because we are reminded of new life. It's easy to have faith when we go out of this church and we see the beauty of this place. It's so easy to have faith and say there must be a God when we see so much beauty and joy. But it's awfully difficult to keep the faith when your feet are on fire. When there's chronic illness, it is awfully difficult to keep the faith. When our prayers are not answered, it's hard to keep the faith. When the people we love die, it's hard to keep the faith. We found that with John Huss. John Huss was a martyr from the 1400s. In fact, tomorrow marks the 600th anniversary of his death. He died, burned at the stake, on July 6th, 1415. Now, when we read about the life of Huss, a lot of times when we read about famous people, the lives are sanitized. And the thoughts behind them are so, they just seem ordinary. We're not quite sure what the fuss was about. When I've read about John Huss, it says, well, he wanted the Bible to be read in the language of the people, and he had reforms of the church. And I thought, well, that's really weird that people would kill him for that. But it was so much more than that. When Huss became a priest, it wasn't that he had an overwhelming desire to help people. There were no vows of poverty in the priesthood at that time. In fact, the way to climb out of poverty was to become a priest, because the priests were the landholders. The church were the elite. And if you wanted to have a good life, you became a priest. And so that's why he aspired to the priesthood, because it was a good life, it was a comfortable life, it was a wealthy life. And the people did not have any access to the Word of God, so the elite interpreted it for them. And you know that we can take God's Word and spin it any way we want. And so they didn't want people to know about the liberating gospel of Jesus, because that might give them ideas. It's like when the Moravians went in the 1700s to the slave populations in the Caribbean, the people who were most against them were the landowners and the slaveholders. Because once you tell somebody that they have full worth in Christ Jesus, once you tell them that the Bible says there's no longer slave nor free, male or female, but all are one in Christ, that might give people ideas. And it might topple the social structure. So when Huss began to preach against the abuses of the church, it began to preach against the powers that be, that was what got him into trouble, because it affected the bottom line. And he became excommunicated. And when that didn't work, when he became more and more popular with the people, the powers that be decided to do something about it. And they invited him to present his ideas at a council. This would be a great council. All the princes of the church were to come, and they were to listen to Huss. And he was even told, if you come, even if they disagree with you, you'll be safe. And this promise came, no less, from a king. So Huss believed that he would be safe If he went to this council and presented his ideas, he arrived at the council and he was promptly arrested. Now, if they had taken him to the stake the next day, we kind of would understand why he stood firm. But that's not what happened. He was thrown in a dungeon, which was next to the city sewer. And there he languished for months and became so ill it was feared he was going to die before he ever came to trial. Now, you know when there's tragedy or when there's some big trouble, you can have the strength to endure that trouble. But when you have a chronic thing happen, when it's not just something that happens and then it's resolved, but day after day, week after week, month after month, your resistance is down, everything is down, it's very hard to keep strong, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. And this man, by the time they brought him to trial, he was sick and he was weak, and I guess they thought he was done. So when they brought him to trial, they said, all you have to do is say, I'm wrong. He wouldn't do that. So they dressed him in his priestly robes, the thing he had worked so hard for and had accomplished so much, and they put all his priestly robes on him. And after a service of worship, how ironic is this? After a service of worshiping God, they came and started to strip all his priestly robes off him and then bring him out to the stake. And they put a chain around his neck. And even then they said, just say you're wrong and your life will be saved. And he said, I cannot do that. He said, but mark my words, there will come a time, some years hence, when a reformer will be raised up who will not be stopped. That reformer was Martin Luther. And as the flames consumed Huss's body, they heard him singing the Psalms. He was faithful even to death. And then they scattered his ashes over the Rhine River, thinking that with no monument, with no way to be remembered, that this troublemaker would soon fade into oblivion. But we're here 600 years later. It's hard to keep the faith when your feet are on fire. Paul, the apostle, knew that. He had some kind of physical affliction that was so horrible that he called it a messenger of Satan, a thorn in his flesh. Now, if anyone deserved healing, it was him. If anyone deserved God to listen, it was him. And so he prayed with all faith. He had healed people in his prayers, so he figured if he prayed for himself, certainly God would understand and would heal him. And he prayed three times. I guess he figured first time maybe God had other things to do. So he prayed again. After the third time of not hearing, God finally spoke to him and said, no, my grace is enough for you. And Paul said, in a flash of inspiration, that's true. God's grace is enough. And in my weakness, God will demonstrate his power. And didn't God do that for John Huss? In John Huss's weakness, in his diseased state, he could not save his own life. He could not talk his way out. He was taken to the stake and other people made a decision about his life. He was completely helpless. And yet, in his weakness, that witness continued. And the reason the Moravian Church is here today is because of John Huss's witness. It couldn't be stopped. In our weakness, God's power can be revealed. It's not an easy thing when our feet are on fire. It's not an easy thing when life's calamities come, not at an easy pace, but all of a sudden we get an onslaught. And we keep looking up saying, I don't know how much more I can take. Is his grace enough for you? It was enough for John Huss, even though God didn't deliver him. And we are sitting here today. It was enough for the Apostle Paul, even though God did not answer his prayer and heal him. And we have such beautiful words about God's strength in our weakness. Is his grace enough for you today? When life sends an onslaught and our feet are on fire, let us pray that we would remember the witness of John Huss and all those who have gone before us and keep the faith in spite of what we see, because God is faithful. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for that although we do not understand why, that we can rest on your grace and your power, that in every age your witness will go forward, that your grace will sustain us through the darkest times. And I pray for that one here today whose faith has been shaken to the foundations. May during our time of worship in the Lord's Supper, would you visit that one and remind them of your grace and strength, even in our weakest moments. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.